Welcome to episode 49. Millions of people are living with arthritis today, and in this episode, we want to raise the level of awareness, share key resources, and let you know how you can help. Of course, always seek the advice of your physician with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before starting any physical activity. Hope you enjoy. Here's what you can look forward to on this episode of Inspire Virtual Runs podcast.
So I was going to say the Arthritis Foundation has been helpful as far to give you resources and kind of guide you in different directions. And also there's some great support groups out there that have been really helpful for myself and a lot of parents throughout the country, even just as far as like giving advice on which doctors are great in the area and how close it is to specific hospitals. So there's a lot of it's a very tight-knit community because we're not a huge community. We do work very well in helping each other, and the foundation plays a big piece of that as well.
Welcome to Inspire Virtual Runs podcast. Whether you are new to running or seasoned, get tips and the inspiration that you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. Now, here's your host, Richard Connor.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Inspire Virtual Runs podcast. Today is a really special episode because we're going to talk about arthritis and learn more about it, as well as dispel some of the misconceptions about it. And we have two special guests with us today, starting with Lauren Amendola, who is the executive director of the Arthritis Foundation in Connecticut. She has spent almost 20 years in the health nonprofit industry. She's been building her skills and resume at the United Way, MDA, and Autism Speaks. Lauren found a deeper passion at the foundation as an arthritis warrior herself. She enjoys friends and family, the beach, and time at home with her husband and six-year-old daughter, Gianna. They reside in North Branford, Connecticut, and are settling in with a new rescue cat. We also have Joanna Green, who is from Southington, Connecticut, where she lives with her husband, Kyle Green, and two children, Carly and Ashton. Her daughter Carly is an arthritis warrior and is the youth honoree for the 2022 Connecticut Walk to Cure Arthritis. So I just want to say welcome to the show and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited about this topic. Number one, because it's not a topic we brought on the show before, so this is new, which is great for our listeners, but also the opportunity to learn more about it, as I think there's probably some misconceptions about it, but also just maybe not a lot of information about it. So let's just kind of jump into the conversation and start with you, Lauren, to learn more about your journey and how you are at Arthritis Foundation.
I was able to learn more about the foundation, ironically, not because of my diagnosis and having rheumatoid arthritis, also known as RA, but connecting with a friend who had done one of our events, the Jingle Bell Run, which I know we'll talk about, in the future, but she was raising money and had a team. And I thought to myself, I should be part of this. And I never really talked about having arthritis and really kind of owning it and making people more aware. And when I saw that there was a foundation and an event and I could be part of it, that's how I started. And then months later, there was an opening as a staff member, and it really kind of fit not only my career in the nonprofit health world, but then also in the arthritis side of the world. So that's what brought me here, and I'm excited to be part of it all and to help others.
That's really wonderful. And I love your story about how your friend got you involved through the fundraising event, which it's kind of interesting because through a number of my interviews and conversations, I find that there are sometimes folks who start to run or become runners through these types of opportunities, through like a fundraising event. And this is their first 5K, but they're doing it for a great cause to support a friend or family member. So not only did you do that, but you joined the cause and you started with the organization. So that's great.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was great. And that's exactly what we do kind of in our mission and our community work, is to make those connections and bring friends in and really be able to celebrate some of the barriers of arthritis, but using those connections to do so.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about Arthritis Foundation, and then, you know, we'll move over to Joanne and talk about her and her family as well. But let's start with Arthritis Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do and what you provide?
Yeah, Arthritis Foundation has been around for over 75 years, and we're the largest nonprofit solely focused on arthritis. And really the dollars and the time that's spent in research, resources, camp, other events, community connections, it is truly amazing to know that we have this foundation and organization just focusing on that. And so that's exactly what we do here in Connecticut as well. We do special events and fundraising, but we really try to connect our warriors and families together using community connections and support beyond the resources we have, and also connecting a lot with our healthcare providers. They're really kind of the first entryway into this diagnosis, and then where to turn would be us. So building those relationships as well is what we do, you know, at the foundation nationally and here locally in Connecticut.
Wonderful. And you have these wonderful events that we'll get to in a little while. We'll talk more about those, but that's really wonderful to hear. And, you know, is there anything that you could share about just arthritis in general that maybe the listeners wouldn't normally know? I know we know arthritis, and I know we think about probably older patients with arthritis. So, you know, what could you share that maybe listeners wouldn't normally know?
Sure. And I think that's a really important kind of question to lead me into a topic that does surprise people. So we do say this isn't your grandparents' disease. Over one in four Americans have a doctor-diagnosed arthritic disease. So we're talking, and this is through the CDC as well, this is nearly 60 million people who have arthritis. And a higher percentage of people under 65 have arthritis than those over 65. So it's really important to know that. And that includes children. It also includes all arthritic and autoimmune diseases that fall under that. So that could be, as I discussed about my diagnosis, rheumatoid arthritis, but we also are talking about osteoarthritis and even things like Lyme disease, lupus, gout. Those are all falling under that umbrella as arthritic diseases.
Okay. I did not know that. That's very interesting. And, you know, kind of along the same theme of the patients who are affected under 65, let's turn our attention for a moment to Joanna. So, you know, welcome to the show, Joanna, and really love to hear your story, you know, just a little bit about you and your family. And as I understand, you know, your family has been impacted by arthritis. So would like for you to share that story.
Sure. Yeah. So my daughter she'll be 7 on May 1st. And so she's had arthritis since before she turned 2. Not something we ever had anticipated. It doesn't run in our family. It's one of those things that's not hereditary. It's just kind of people get it. And that's kind of, they don't know why or how or anything like that. So she woke up from a nap one day, had a swollen knee. She didn't fall. We kind of were racking our brains. Did she hit it? Did she fall? Did she bang it? Nothing. So we quickly went to the doctor and they did x-rays. They did blood tests. They tested her for leukemia, for Lyme disease. Arthritis was one of the things they were looking for, different things. Maybe she had a cold and her body just wasn't done fighting the cold and it caused some inflammation. So we tried some, she was on naproxen for a little while and that didn't really do anything. And so they referred us to a rheumatologist up at Connecticut Children's, and we saw our doctor there, and she was officially diagnosed with juvenile idiopathic arthritis, specifically oligoarticular, because for her, it was only her knee that was impacted. So she had fewer than 5 joints. So from there, she had a cortisone injection and they drained her knee, and that cleared her knee almost instantly, which was amazing. But because of the type of arthritis that she has, we also had to keep an eye out for uveitis, which is inflammation in her eyes, which unfortunately she was diagnosed with. And so that was the piece of it that was harder for us to kind of get under control. And again, going into this, we didn't know anything about arthritis in children, and then especially uveitis and how they really do go hand in hand. So she's been on a combination of Humira, which is an injectable medication, and then methotrexate as an oral medication. And with, you know, proper maintenance and seeing her doctors and the medication, she has had no flare-ups for quite some time. And we've also taken her off of the methotrexate a few months ago. We've been seeing no inflammation. And so hopefully, you know, going forward, we can eliminate the Humira and keep her inflammation free, which would be the goal without medication. So exciting stuff, hopefully. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that must have been a scary time, especially for a child who's so young and having to go through the diagnostic part of it as well as the treatment. So,
yeah. It was a bit traumatizing, I will say, initially, you know, putting your kid through x-rays and blood work and all. And like as a parent, you're terrified because they're throwing around things like leukemia and Lyme disease. And even arthritis at the time was very scary for us because she wasn't even two. We had no idea. I mean, I remember my grandmother having arthritis. So that's kind of what I thought of. But we've come a very long way and she's been able to live an incredibly normal, unimpacted life, aside from her having to have the medication and maybe being a little bit more cautious, you know, around flu season and things like that. But she's going to start track. She's done tennis. She's tried snowboarding and skiing. So she really lives the life of any other 6 or 7 year old kid without having an impact. And no one really even knows she has it. Kind of like what Lauren had said, she doesn't talk about it a whole lot. This new thing with her being the honoree is the first time that she's openly talked to people about it and kind of said like, hey, I have arthritis. And like, if you have any questions, let me know. And so it's been a huge impact, a huge step for her in the, you know, for all of this. So it's huge.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And that's really cute that she's, yeah, you know, that she's comfortable with having that conversation. Mm-hmm. And she's accepted that. That's great. And, you know, something that you said kind of triggered a question. So did the doctors know immediately kind of what was going on with her when you started to see symptoms, or did it kind of take a while? Like, was arthritis kind of down the list before they realized what it was?
Yeah, it was on the list of things they were looking for, but they had thought maybe, because I think she had had a cold not too long before. And so they thought maybe she had, I think what they called reactive arthritis, where she had a cold and her body kind of didn't stop fighting the cold. So in turn, it was affecting itself. And they thought maybe with some antibiotics and naproxen that would take care of it, but it didn't. So we tried that, didn't make any difference. And then that's when the rheumatologist kind of did a full exam. They really looked at her lab work and kind of studied everything and determined that she did have, you know, juvenile idiopathic arthritis, and it wasn't caused by anything else. She had no fractures, no bruises, no nothing that would indicate an injury. And so they kind of ruled out leukemia and Lyme disease. So that's how they kind of got to the official diagnosis of arthritis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, kind of switching back to Lauren for a moment, you know, I'm just wondering, is it maybe common, or maybe it's uncommon, to have undiagnosed patients? Maybe they go in with present with symptoms and they never really get to that point of diagnosing arthritis. I'm just wondering if you have any data or any information on that.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely see that. I don't have any hard data. There might be some out there, but that certainly happens, because we will hear stories over and over about it taking so long. They thought it was Lyme disease. Not all of these are detected. Types of arthritic diseases are detected through blood work. So there definitely is a lag in time. Mm-hmm. Or misdiagnosis. You know, and even for myself, I was diagnosed at 19, but I had issues from middle school on. And so we thought it was sports, or it was so random and inconsistent that, you know, if you think back, if I was diagnosed earlier, I think a lot of times things have happened over the decades too of awareness and understanding in rheumatology. You know, I might have been considered a JA kiddo. So we do see that. We hear stories and we see it not being the easiest or best thing to diagnose, for a few reasons. That there's not that many rheumatologists. It's not this hot medical practice to be part of. And so that's one issue. And also the availability of hospitals and those physicians, and the knowledge of your primary care physicians also. So I think it's really a combination of the proper questions and tests, and in rheumatology and arthritis aren't always the first thing that physicians and parents think or talk about. So that does happen. And Joanna mentioned some medications that Carly was taking. And I really want to educate our listeners and have everyone keep in mind that those are medications that adults would take as well. So there's no pediatric medications. Of course, the dosage is different, but there is no different medication. And these are injectables or infusions, sometimes once a week, twice a month, quarterly in the hospital. So these medications are pretty intense. There's also some young kids that go on low dose chemo to really help keep the body and joints and inflammation under control. So this is really, you know, no joke. And so that's why we love to talk about it and really educate everyone.
Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate you sharing that information and even sharing your own story. You know, as I'm kind of thinking about it, for our listeners, if, you know, you or a loved one presents with these types of symptoms, don't rule out arthritis if you're under 65 is kind of my takeaway, right? Is really make sure that that this is not something that's just ruled out because of your age. So that's really helpful. And it's helpful to hear about some of the therapies. And one thing that you said, Joanna, was really interesting about how your daughter is really looking to, or is playing sports and starting up track. And, you know, I love that because I think that, you know, we may try to use some of these situations as maybe to say, I can't do that. I can't run or I can't play sports. And in her case, you know, obviously she's going through her treatments, but she's getting out there. So what is that like?
Yeah, for her? As soon as we figured out the inflammation in her knee and her joint was, literally back to normal after the procedure, we got the okay from the rheumatologist that she could try anything she wanted to try. And as long as she didn't have any pain or discomfort and none of her other joints, you know, started to become impacted, that she could continue trying everything she wanted to try. And which is great because she's so under control with the medication, we haven't had to worry about, oh, if she falls, if she does this, if she does that. I mean, like any normal kid, she actually fell like a month ago, split her chin open and got stitches. So she's living the life of a very, very typical six-year-old who does very careless activities and different things. And so it hasn't held her back in any way. And I think that could be part of why she hasn't talked about it openly is because it's not visible to anybody. There's no way that anyone would look at her and know. So she's been able to kind of, you know, fly under the radar, so to speak. And so she just kind of blends in with everybody else. And we've been very, very fortunate. And as Lauren said, with the doctors here in Connecticut, especially where we are in the Hartford region, we're very, very lucky to have an amazing rheumatology department up at Children's Hospital. Their doctors, their nurses, they all are on point. They're always there to answer questions and help. And then for Carly with her uveitis, she actually does see an eye disease specialist where she's the youngest patient in his office. We go in and it's mostly senior citizens. So that's kind of a lag, like what Lauren was saying with the medical field. There's not a lot of pediatric doctors that specialize in this type of uveitis. So a lot of the kids, if they can get into a doctor specializing in that, they're mostly going to be going with, you know, senior citizens and people who have glaucoma and, you know, uveitis for different reasons, not necessarily arthritis. So it's kind of she's kind of stands out at the eye doctor's office, I guess you could say. So, you know, but we're very fortunate for the care that we have here. So.
And I know that's something that, you know, we had discussed prior to this conversation is about, you know, really making sure that you can find that care where you live. And like you said, you're very fortunate that that's here, but it sounds like that might not be everywhere, right? Maybe not everyone has that opportunity. You know, that's really interesting for the listeners to know that they'll have to maybe really kind of search for it depending on where they live.
Yeah. So I was going to say the Arthritis Foundation has been helpful as far to give you resources and kind of guide you in different directions. And also, there's some great support groups out there that have been really helpful for myself and a lot of parents throughout the country, even just as far as like giving advice on which doctors are great in the area and how close it is to specific hospitals. So there's a lot of, it's a very tight knit community because we're not a huge, huge community. We do work very well in helping each other. And the foundation plays a big piece of that as well.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And, you know, I was just about to ask Lauren about those resources, like what's Arthritis Foundation role in kind of all this? So you touched on a little bit. And if there's anything you want to expand, Lauren, on that.
Sure. On arthritis.org, we have something called a resource finder. So that is narrowing down not only the state you live in, but your zip code. And so it will pull up all rheumatologists in that area. And we have great relationships also with orthopedics, physical therapists, the eye doctors. So it's not just rheumatology. I mean, this is a whole full circle. A lot of pain management also. So on our website, there's an arthritis finder that can narrow down some hospitals and departments and physicians, as well as other resources beyond the doctors on any kind of topic. So you can be putting in our website the certain type of arthritis you have, the event you want to go to, volunteering or needing a virtual support group or an online in-person connect group. All of that can be found, and that's what we're doing to disseminate on all local levels to our families and warriors.
Wonderful, wonderful. And let's talk about that a little bit more, because I know that you have awareness and fundraising events throughout the year, and one is coming up very soon. So why don't you share a little bit about, you know, at least the one that's coming up in the next few weeks, and we could share that with the community here.
Yes, it's coming up very soon, Sunday, May 15th at Trinity Health Stadium. So that's where the Hartford Athletic play. They just had changed the name of the stadium, so we're making sure everyone knows it's the old Dillon Stadium. And that's called our Walk to Cure Arthritis. So we have that event once a year. It's our signature event across the country. And so really in May and June, there'll be Walk to Cure Arthritis events across the country happening. And we all have the same theme, and we are all coming together, even though we're in each of our own states, to celebrate our warriors and bring our families together. It's been over 2 years since the pandemic, not being able to be in person, especially our younger population. Our Walk to Cure Arthritis does attract a lot of our kiddos and the juvenile arthritis, also known as JA population. And so we wanted to make sure and be ready to have this safe and fun event. So we're excited and ready. Again, that's May 15th, the Walk to Cure Arthritis in Hartford. And that's an event where you have to register, but it's free. It's free to attend. It's free to come. You even get a ticket to an athletic game this season or next of your choice for even just registering and supporting. And so that's great to also find community partners that would give an incentive to our supporters and come together. The goal is to raise funds and also awareness and make connections. That's where a lot of people will be able to meet each other, chat. We have doctors there and pharmaceutical companies, and people can really get resources and information.
And, you know, kind of as we were talking before, these are great opportunities for, you know, folks not only to get involved in these types of causes and learn more and to support, but also just on the physical side, just get moving, right? As I mentioned before, this is an opportunity where I've seen so many people decide that they want to start running 5Ks, half marathons, and marathons just because of they want to support one of these causes. So this is just a wonderful opportunity. Literally, they could walk before they run, right, with this upcoming walk. So I love it.
Exactly. And you know, you might have heard the saying about, you know, keeping your muscles loose and moving, and that really is the best for arthritis. And we're just talking about some movement, and we understand there's all types of abilities and disease states and also pain. So of course, always talk to your physician about any physical activity, but we know it's good. It's good to get moving, even if it's just up out of a chair or getting outside in the nice weather. That's the best for your body and your joints. And so that's what we love to also present. You could go as little or as long during the actual walk. And we'll be doing 4 loops around the stadium. So it comes out to a little bit of a mile, but we're doing the 4 loops to represent the 1 in 4 Americans, or 25% of the population with arthritis. But some people sit and cheer us on. Some people run all 4. And it's just getting out there and being together. And so, yeah, we're excited.
I love this conversation. I'm so happy that we met. And, you know, as we wind down here, I'd love to, you know, hear from you, from both of you, if there's any parting words that you'd like to share with our community. So maybe, Joanna, we could start with you.
You know, I would say if you're a new parent with a diagnosis for a kid, it hurts initially, but with, you know, time, it does get easier. And just working with your kid to make sure that they're comfortable and giving them and answering any questions they have and just being there to support them and doing the research that if they have questions, you can help them and utilizing your doctor and the community. So there's a lot of great support out there. And while it is a scary diagnosis for a lot of people, it, you know, it's manageable. And for those of the, that it's not, it's accepting people and just understanding that everyone's journey with this is different and realizing that, you know, there is no one way to have arthritis. There is no one way to deal with arthritis. And you just have to do what works for you and find the resources and the help and just be there together and just utilize what you have around you and see what's out there and rely on it because it'll help. It'll be what gets you through the hard part of the diagnosis. And even the times when, you know, when you're leading up to giving your kid that shot and you're just having a day where they're not feeling it, it'll kind of give you that boost of like, okay, we have to do this because this is what keeps your joints in check, your eyes in check, and just kind of giving yourself a pep talk, giving your kid a pep talk, and just knowing at the end of the day that that's what is needed to continue on and to move on. So
wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Lauren, anything that you'd like to share with our community?
I would. You know, Arthritis Foundation has a little bit of a motto called We Live Yes and Live Yes and Say Yes. And we really want to provide a community and resources and connections and all the right tools for you to be able to live yes with arthritis. So that might be leading up to a 5K. That might just being able to connect with someone and talk about your diagnosis because you've never done that. So say yes to doing that. And so we're offering all of the tools and resources to do that. And so I want people to be a little bit more understanding and aware of arthritis. I want people to think of it and others, and then also turn to the Arthritis Foundation, and we're here to help.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lauren. So how can our listeners, our community, find Arthritis Foundation and follow you online?
Go to arthritis.org. When you search Connecticut or events, it will know where you live and it will pull up any events, connections, community, resources and tools in your area. And on Facebook, we have Arthritis Foundation Connecticut, and we are now on Instagram at Arthritis Foundation CT.
All right. Well, I will certainly include all of that information in the show notes. So for now, again, Lauren, Joanna, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for helping raise awareness to this topic with everything that you do. And Joanna, your daughter is so brave and now talking about it. So I hope I get to meet her at the walk, you know, in a few weeks. But again, thank you so much for coming on the show and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Inspire Virtual Runs podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review. Also, be sure to click the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.